All right, well, let's look at our passage here tonight at Luke chapter 14. And I'd like to set the background here. We're going to be focused on 15 and following, but I need to back up here a little bit into chapter 14, and then the last invitation again was my topic. Verse 12, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother, neither thy kinsman, nor thy rich neighbor, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now this crowd of people, they're hearing this teaching, and when they heard about recompense at the resurrection of the just, if you look at verse 15, one of them just had like the shouting fit, so to speak. All of a sudden, they just said, and one of them that at meat heard these things, he said to him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. He just got excited here. He just heard about the resurrection of the just and being recompensed. And he just blurted out, blessed shall be he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be there. He was so happy. You know, he just had this moment. Shouting fits, so to speak. Well, Jesus looked at the situation, and a lot of people think they're going to be there. They're good to go. And Jesus didn't want us to have false confidence. He didn't want us to have a false assurance. So he told this parable, because this one says, hey, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, wait a minute here. That's because you're invited. And so he tells this parable, verse 16. And let's work through this, and we'll look at the last invitation. And he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. Now, in this time, we've got to think through this here. Now, in those times, did they have refrigeration? No. Okay. So if you're going to have meat at your banquet, what would you have to do in order to have meat? Huh? Well, not bury it in the ground. What would you have to do to your oxen that day?
Right away.
Right. It's got to be, you butcher it,
cook it,
and then you serve it right away. There's no refrigeration. So this process was a big process. Now, this fellow that made this invitation, how many did he invite in verse 16? How many did he invite?
Many.
Okay, he invited many. Now, here's the deal. He could tell them, on this day is this meal, but he's not going to tell them the time because he didn't know how many were coming at this point because he invited many. Once the invitation started being confirmed on this day, we're going to come. Okay. And then he has to back up. Well, do I need one oxen? Do I need two oxen? Do I need three oxen? If I got this many oxen, and he's got to plan all this out. Now, if you were to have this great meal, would you have it in the morning or the afternoon or more toward the evening? Which would give you the most time to get everything ready? In the evening, that would just stand to reason. You wouldn't have it in the morning because how would you get everything ready? So basically, most of the meals when they had were in the evening time, so they gave them all day to get everything ready. But these invitations went out, and they said, yep, RSVP, we're coming. He says, great. He knows how many's coming. He knows how many oxen he's got to kill, get everything ready, because there's no microwaves. There was when you where would you get your bread at? You'd have to bake it in what? The ovens. That was a lot of work to put together. So we take so many things for granted. Well, a certain man, he made a great supper. He was going to bless the people around him. Just a special invitation, like a community event, going to have an enjoyable time together. He invited everybody in the community. Come. Are you coming? Yep, I'll be there. Are you coming? Yep. Okay. He had a list of how many. Don't know the time yet because he got to figure all this out. He sent his servants at supper time to them that were bidden. Now this day they knew they were coming. Come, for all things are now ready. Hey, I got it ready. Now is the time. It's going to be here shortly. You set this day aside for me, and we're ready to go. Now, for the host, that was a lot of work. Get all this food ready, prepare it, timing. Now, ladies, when you like to make a meal, do you like to get everything timed so it's all warm on the table? Okay. Do you get upset when your husband doesn't come right away and it starts getting cold? How do you feel about that? Do you know what I'm saying? Does that frustrate you a little bit? Well, for this guy here, he was trying to get it timed so that when he served it, it was good to go. Well, he sent his servants. He said, let them know it's ready now. Come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18. Then they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Now, I think it was Billy Sunday said, a man that's good at making excuses is not good for much else. If he's good at making excuses, he's not good at much else. They all with, one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground and I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excuse. Now, I know I told you I was coming. I sent in my RSVP, but I have me excuse. I can't come. Now, what's wrong with this guy in verse 18? Why does his excuse seem pretty thin?
He already knows what the ground looks like.
Well, right. Would you buy something you never saw before?
I wouldn't
buy ground I never saw before. So obviously this guy must have seen it before, but he's saying at this time, no, I need to go see this ground. Okay, so an excuse. You know, I bought some ground and I got to go see it. Okay, that's this guy. Verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. All right, yoke is 2, so that's 10 oxen he's bought, and I got to go test them. Now, think this through for a minute. Would you buy 10 oxen that you have no idea whether they're good, bad oxen or anything? Would you buy that kind of oxen? I don't think so, but this guy's saying, I bought 10 oxen, but hey, I need to test them and have me excused. Let's look at the next guy, verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Well, how long do you plan on living with your woman that this one evening you can't make this work? You know what I'm saying? I don't know. This guy said, I got a wife. I can't come now. That's right. Just bring her with you. What's the problem here? I can't come. But see, the problem is they said to this guy, I'm coming. And then they decided not to come. Now, you're the host. You've went through all this trouble to get your oxen killed, time it so it's all warm and everything's set and everything's ready to go, and they don't show up. Verse 21, that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being, now what's that next word? He was what? Angry. Whoa, think about this for a minute. Now, how would you feel if you went to all this trouble and they said they're coming, then they showed up? Have you ever had invited guests over and they didn't show up or they're really late? Have you ever had that happen to you? That's not good, is it? Because you went through all this trouble when they're late or maybe they forgot and didn't show up. You got upset here. You got angry. Well, you said you're coming. What's the problem here? He got upset. Well, then he said to his servant, verse 21, go out quickly into the streets. Now, quickly, because the food's ready. Quickly into the streets and lanes and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt, those that are crippled and the blind. Now, let's look at the contrast here. Would a poor person ever buy any ground? Like the guy in verse 18. Would he buy ground? Probably not if he's poor. How about bringing hither the maimed? Now, if you're maimed, were you going to go out and get some oxen and plow a field? Probably not, because you're handicapped. How about the crippled and the blind? Crippled and blind, how busy do you think their schedule is? Probably not very busy. They wouldn't. Now, if you were poor and you were maimed, and you were crippled, and you were blind, and somebody said up to me, hey, you know this guy over here, lives over here? He's got a great feast ready for you. How much does it cost? Nothing. You just come. You mean I can come? It's free? It's for me? Can I come? Yeah, just come. Just come. And the servant said, verse 22, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's still room. Now, in God's kingdom, when he gives an invitation, is there always more room? Is there always room for one more? Absolutely. God's kingdom is never too full. And there's always room for one more. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be what? Filled. Now think about this from God's perspective. Now we can, if we stood in the servant's position here tonight and the Lord said, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be what? Filled. Can we do that as God's people? Is there room yet still? What has God prepared for us in heaven that he's gone through a great trouble for? Yeah, dwelling places for us. And, you know, God has prepared all this for us. He's given us his son. And you know what people do? They blow it off when God says, hey, you need to get saved. Hey, you need to repent of your sins. You can be part of my kingdom. I prepared all this for you. But you just come, but you got to come my way through the cross. And everybody begins to make excuses. I can't get saved. I can't give my life to Christ. I can't give my soul to the Lord. I don't want to do this. I'm too busy. And how do you think God feels? Because for the lost sinner, is there one day that's the last invitation? Is there a last invitation for the sinner? See, the thing is, what sinners don't understand, look at verse 24, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden, he gave them the invitation, they had the opportunity, they made an excuse because they were too busy with the things of this world, shall taste of my supper. Is that the last invitation? You ever thought about that? For some sinners, there's a last invitation they'll ever have. And who knows that? Only God does. But it should be a motivating factor that people don't trifle with God when God gives them an invitation that they, if God's knocking on the door of your heart, that you don't say no to him. Because some point in eternity, some point in time, there's going to be the last invitation because it's closed. When that is, God knoweth. He's merciful. He's kind. His mercy is forever. But at some point in time, there's the last invitation given. Who closed the door on the ark when Noah went in?
God
closed the door. Was that the last invitation, so to speak? Do you know what I'm saying? When that door closed, that was it. They had 120 years of Noah building the ark and hearing and seeing what Noah said was going to happen, and only 8 went on. There comes a point where God has a deadline. And for these people that make excuses, they had their opportunity, but they made light of what God was doing in and through their lives. Now, that's the unsaved, but I want to turn this in a little different direction here. And the last invitation. D.L. Moody preached his last sermon with his last text to his last congregation. And that happened in November 23rd, 1899, in the Civic Auditorium in Kansas City. Moody was a very sick man that evening when he preached. He said, I must have souls in Kansas City, he told his students at his school in Chicago. Never, never have I wanted so much to lead men and women to Christ as I do at this time. His heart was pounding as he was preaching. He had to hold on to the organ to stabilize himself to keep from falling, but he preached the gospel that night. 50 people responded to trust the Lord. The next day, Moody went back to Chicago, a very sick man, and within a month, the Lord took him home. The text that he preached from was this very text right here. Was his last text he ever preached. That was the last invitation he ever gave to lost sinners to be saved. Now, for the lost sinner, there's a last invitation. For the saints of God, at some point in time, you're going to have the last opportunity to give the gospel out to somebody. I don't know when that'll be. But what we want to do, we don't want to make excuses. Now, can the devil give you an excuse why you shouldn't witness or you shouldn't get the gospel out? Can he fill you up with excuses? He can. But what we want to do is to let the main thing be the main thing and keep the most important thing the most important thing and bring men and women to Christ. Because there is going to be a last invitation for the sinner and for the saint. For the saint to give it out, for the sinners to respond. But there's going to be the last invitation. Verse 23, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be what? Filled. Can we do that as God's people? Can we do that? Can we go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled? And God has prepared the marriage supper of the Lamb, that all those that know him and love him will be part of his great kingdom one day. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, thank you for what we looked at here tonight. And Father, thank you for the last invitation. And Father, I pray for the sinner that they would respond. I pray for the saint that they would give out the gospel. And Father, you know the hearts and lives of everyone. And God, we can't make excuse in your presence. God, you know the reasons for everything. And Father, help us that we might make the best of our opportunities that we have in this present world to bring men and women, boys and girls to you. And that, Father, we would be wise unto salvation for the glory of our great God and kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.